The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Okay, so we've talked about Dwayne the dog. The bounty hunter? What's his name? I'm sorry. Dog the bounty hunter.
You better respect that mullet.
I don't watch the show or whatever. But the thing that pissed me off is that we announced when his wife passed away. It hasn't even been a year. She's suffering from cancer, and now he's got a new girlfriend? It's a lot. And his daughter, Lissa, is not happy about it. That's her mother that passed away. Her dad has already moved on with another woman. She's throwing vomit emojis up on the woman's Instagram. These two are fighting on social media. The woman's name is Moon Angel. Of course it is. And she called the daughter a TMZ rat on Twitter. I mean, these guys are going back and forth. My thing, I agree with Lissa, the daughter. She says this woman was a friend of her mother's. Okay, she was a friend. And now she's taking advantage of her dad because he's sad. And I'm upset, too, because I wouldn't want DJ Automatic doing that, right? I mean, just the lack
of respect. I would never
do
that to you, Dana.
Could you wait a minute? Line two, go ahead. What do you think about this whole situation?
I don't really know too much about who Dwayne the dog is, but this story, I am so upset.
Girl, for real.
It hasn't even been a year, and this man has already moved on with another woman. Like, what the f*** is wrong with him?
That's what I said. It's disrespectful to her memory. It's disrespectful to the kids. I bet you anything, they were already having sexy time before she even passed
you
away.
You don't know that, Dana. Come on now. You don't know that.
I, you know what? I don't know. But that quick? You're telling me right now, if I die after suffering for months and months of cancer, you're just going to go find some other lady.
Of course not.
Just
quick and just move on.
Time out. RIP to the legend that is Beth, okay?
Yes.
That's her soul. But let me just make sure I'm understanding this correct. Dana Cortez, God forbid something happens to you. You mean to tell me that you want Automatic to remain lonely and sad and by himself for the remainder of his years?
You damn straight, that's what I'm telling you. That's exactly what I'm telling you. You know what? Maybe not sad and lonely forever, but at least for the first 50 years, I would want him to long for me every single day. Seriously.
Same for me. Like, in fact, I'm going to call my man right now and tell him, like, turn the show on and let him know that. I expect the same from him.
Yeah, here's back to my question, Otto. I want you to really think about this question. And we come back, I want you to be honest. Because I think this woman on the line agrees. How long should a man or anyone, for that matter, how long should someone wait before they date after their partner passes away? This woman died.
You know what? I'm going to really, really, really think about this before I answer it, but I'll answer it when we come back.
Okay, and I want to hear your answers, too. 833-DANA-SHOW. This conversation continues next. It's the Dana Cortez Show. Girl Talk returns in less than 5.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
It's the Dana Cortez Show. This is Girl Talk. And if you just turn the radio on, we're talking about Dog the Bounty Hunter, who I was like, I don't even know if people know who he is. And Anthony, you're like, everybody knows who Dog the Bounty Hunter is.
All those reruns run constantly. And also, South Park had so many Dog the Bounty Hunter episodes. So
I'm the dog.
I don't think I've seen... Actually, no, I'm lying. I have seen one episode of Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Well, I think that it's sad that his wife, Beth Chapman, passed away. I still remember the day we reported it in June inside the Daily Dirt. It hasn't even been a year, and he's already moved on with this woman, Moon Angel, supposedly
Moon Angel,
Beth Chapman's best friend, who moved in to care for Beth her last days. And now I think she's taking advantage of a man in mourning, and so do his kids. They agree with me because it hasn't even been a year. And Otto, you tried to say earlier, well, maybe the wife said no. The kids would have been in the know if the wife had said, hey,
not necessarily.
I want... Yes, they would have. They were close. They were all living there. This woman suffered for a very long time through cancer. And for this other lady to, in my opinion, take advantage of someone who's in deep pain is wrong. You don't do that. My Nana always said, when someone passes away, you have to at least wait a year out of respect before you go out, before you do anything.
She was never even around for the internet, though.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, she doesn't
Anthony.
You know what I'm saying? Well, here's the thing, though. People talk about, oh, my person this, my person that. You're like, if Otto dies, you better wait for me because you're mine. Technically, nobody owns anybody. Nobody's is nobody else's possession. We're all just people experiencing each other for short life beings. So, I think it's perfectly okay to move on.
I think it's fine to move on. Give it some time. Oh, my gosh. The woman's body
has been
on the ground a year.
She's in the ground. Sorry.
DJ Automatic, do you have your time ready? Because before, I asked you how long you should wait. Can I take this call and you come back with the right answer?
I'm going to really think about that one.
What you think is the appropriate time you should wait. If God forbid something happened to me, 833-DANA-SHOW, how long should you wait if your significant other passes away?
That's hard. That's a hard one. My uncle, he lost his wife, and then he turned around and married horribly. And then you meet someone in the next
You said horribly. What do you mean horribly?
I mean, he went and got, you know, the young, beautiful, you know, girl that, literally took the life force out of him. But then, you know, you have some people who, you know, meet someone and marry. I think it just depends. For me, I'm going to die with myself. There's no one that can replace my person. But for other people, they might say that, and it might change tomorrow. So it just depends.
You know, my grandmother never remarried. She was in her mid-40s when my grandfather passed away. I never knew him. And she just said, I can't ever imagine myself with anyone else. And I was like, she was such a young woman. She just said, it doesn't matter. That was my person. You know, just you saying that, it's very emotional. You don't ever think you'll find someone else to love.
Dana always says that I would replace her right away.
I feel like you would. I would probably die alone too, seriously. And I would want him to die alone. I'm just being real. All right, so automatic, you've had plenty of time to think about this answer. In all seriousness, like, of course I want you to be happy. But at the same time, like, I feel jealous that I'm still alive. I can't even imagine. I mean, I promise you right now, I honest to God think that if something would happen to you, I think I would just end up dying alone. I don't think I could replace what we have.
You're worried about hurting his hurt, dead feelings?
No. It has nothing to do with me.
It's all about her.
It has to do with me and the way I feel about you. Like, so, I can't imagine my life without you.
I thought or somebody else. Long and hard, and I could not replace you with just one woman.
What does that mean, automatic?
I would have to replace you with, like, maybe like 2 20-year-olds or something. I'm just kidding, Dana. Of course I would never replace you. We have a child together. I love you. No. I would never, ever replace you.
You can't make that up. We can't go back in time and erase that.
That was a joke.
Was that funny?
I was waiting for this day for a long time, dude. I knew. I was like, damn, Otto is really testing his joke line as of late.
Notice and I'm not laughing. I want everybody to listen to
Dana,
this. It's going to live Dana, on social media now.
I love you.
Cut it now. Dana Cortez Show on Facebook. At Dana Cortez on Instagram. I can't wait for everybody in the world to hear what you just said.
It wasn't a good joke, but it produced a funny moment.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with more of the Dana Cortez Show. Comment on social media.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Odorless marijuana is nearly ready for the market. Dana Cortez Show, WTF story time. What's up, everyone? I'm Dana Cortez.
What? DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
So, cannabis connoisseurs looking to get high on the sly may have a new option. Nearly odorless pot is about to hit the market. Cannabis company, Pharmaceutical Corporation out of Ontario. They say they have this new technology that virtually eliminates the telltale smells when weed is smoked and stored.
Wow.
A number of users and people that are around weed smokers complain about the smell.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that would be me.
I like the way it smells.
Because you're a smoker.
I hate the look people give you when you reek of Mary Jane.
Did I tell that I was recently weed shamed?
Automatic, what? Tell the story.
Okay, I was getting in the elevator. I was staying in a hotel, and this lady, I guarantee her name was Karen, and her little dog just decided to, like, make it public that I was too stinky to be in the elevator and that I shouldn't. And this is in a state where it's legal. And she was like, you, sir, have children around you, and you shouldn't smell like that. I was like, it's legal, lady. Leave me alone. And so I shut the elevator, and I went up.
Now you should be shamed as an elevator rider. That's rude, dog. I got weed shamed at a Khalid concert. Yeah,
really?
I'll never forget that. In Houston, Texas, his older black grandmother was really disappointed when I broke out the Mary Jane on a Young, Wild, and Free. Oh, no, wait, what's the song he has?
Young,
Dumb, and Broke.
Young, Dumb, and Broke.
Oh, I can't even think of it.
It's the weed.
All right, so this cannabis company claims that it greatly reduces the weed odor when flour is combusted. So I guess once you light it up or you, I don't really even know how this works.
I don't know either.
This sounds way too technical for me. All I know is I don't like the smell. I'm sorry. And I'm a legalize it advocate. I don't smoke nada. I don't like weed. It's not good for me. You do whatever you got to do, but I can't stand the smell. Now, I wouldn't weed shame anyone like that woman did you, Automatic, because like you said, you were in a state where smoking marijuana is perfectly legal. So I get it. And honestly, if you want to be 100, smoking marijuana has never killed anybody. Take a look at the stats when it comes to tobacco.
When it comes to alcohol. I told her to grow the f*** up.
Dude, you should have hit that a little harder, bro. You seem a little aggressive right there.
Yeah, I thought we were supposed to make you come down a notch.
I was being verbally attacked and weed shamed in public.
So, Dana, so me and Otto are no longer getting weed shamed. How do we get this odorless marijuana?
You're going to have to ask Drake or Justin Bieber. It's only available in Canada.
Oh, no.
It's the Dana Cortez Show. That's your WTF story.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
We always say you remain anonymous on One Confession here inside the Dana Cortez Show, and we mean it. In fact, we've changed this woman's voice to protect her identity. Hey, everyone, I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
And I go by Anthony A.
One call, 1 minute, no judgment. 833-DANA-SHOW. Go ahead with your confession.
I'm married, and I'm having an affair with a married man.
Oh.
How long have you been seeing this man?
Like 3 months.
3 months. Why do you think you guys are seeing each other since you're both married to other people?
Well, I think I'm in my marriage still for the wrong reason. For the last 9 years, we've been married 20 years. And from what he tells me, it's probably the same thing. Like, I guess just when you've been married for so long, you just kind of feel like, I don't know, you have kids and you don't want to disappoint people. So yeah.
So you're basically staying because of the convenience. You know, if you move, you got to start all over again and the kids are going to be upset. So you're staying. Do you think when your kids are grown, you might walk away? Before I let her answer that question, let's unpack this for a minute. Now, I don't want to judge, but I want to have a conversation about staying with someone that you're obviously no longer in love with and you're
basically
not happy
out of convenience,
with.
Really.
Is it convenience?
It is convenience because
you don't want to disappoint people.
There you
that
go.
That too.
There's a lot of pressure. 20 years, that's a lifetime, dude.
And you're right. That's a lot.
Children.
That's what I'm saying. It's convenient to stay together.
And like, let's not act like a lot of long-term successful marriages have adultery in them. They just do. It's just sprinkled throughout.
Unfortunately, and, I mean, I know for a fact that my grandfather was unfaithful to my grandmother. You know, it's not something she talked about a lot, but I know I hear the whisperings of my aunt and my mom and my uncles. And you know what I mean? Like, you know, stuff like that went down.
My dad had me tricked. I didn't think he had anybody. And then all of a sudden he's got like a whole new woman in his life.
Well, what do you mean automatic? Well,
my mom and dad were married for many, many, many years, over 30 years. And then my dad all of a sudden started dating his hairstylist.
I mean, I know this story and I know how it's affected your mom. But do you think that, and this is personal, you don't have to answer it. We're on. You could just say, I don't want to talk about it. Do you think they were happy?
I think they have love for each other, but I don't think they were happy, no.
So is it better that they stayed together or that they're no longer
now
apart?
That it's been a couple of years, almost, well, probably 3 years now, I think it's better that they separated, yeah. There was no, like, it was convenient. That's all. I mean, I think they had love for each other, but there was...
They also had 4 children to raise.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. That's a hard question for me to answer, really.
Because that's your parents.
Yeah, it's my mom and dad. And, of course, I wanted them to stay together. But I think from the outside looking in, it might have been the best thing.
You know, what I think about what this woman is saying, I can hear in her voice she's not happy at all. The question I asked her, though, was once the children are grown, do you think you're going to leave the marriage? She was open about it. We'll play her answer when One Confession returns. It's the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
One confession here on the Dana Cortez Show. If you just tuned in, we had a woman confess that she's having an extramarital affair. She's been with her husband over 20 years. We did change her voice to protect her identity. Hey, everyone, I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
It's not so much the affair that I feel bad about. It's her being unhappy and her husband being unhappy. She revealed that she thinks he's staying for the kids. She revealed she's definitely staying for the kids. And And I get that. I did not grow up with mom and dad. I didn't grow up in that conventional home. Automatic, you talked about your parents divorcing, and that's very difficult for you to talk about. Even as a grown-up, you said earlier, I wish they would have stayed together. This woman revealed she's got very young children. She doesn't want them to feel like that as little kids.
Which is understandable because I was an adult when this happened, so I can't even imagine what a 12-year-old kid would go through, you know, with a divorce.
It's hard, but I don't have no remorse for this lady. Like, she built this off of a lie. Like, she could really kind of break through this whole life-changing experience with a lot of honesty. Like, it's going to suck. It's going to be hard. But these kids, imagine realizing after 20 years of growing up in a household that the last decade of it was built off of a lie.
I don't think that's such a bad thing if both parents are there. I would have loved to have both parents around. I don't know my father. I'm not saying that.
I don't know. Sometimes it's...
You had your mom and dad. It's easy for you to say that. You had them. Your dad and mom stayed together because of the kids, honestly.
On the flip side, Dana, it's easy for you to paint this euphoric father figure that exists. Because my household was kind of like a good Jenga game. Kind of broken, kind of put together well. You know what I'm saying? So I experienced both, and I'm very grateful to have my stepfather in my life and my father as well, too. But my mother said, your personal happiness is above all. And if she's miserable, then that means those kids understand that this is miserable.
That's what I'm saying. That house cannot be a happy place to live in.
Oh, that's why she's leaving to go with the other dude.
Before the break, this is what I asked her. Do you think when your kids are grown, you might walk away?
Absolutely.
Well, how old is your youngest?
11.
All right.
So, 7 more years.
So do you think your husband's aware? Is it one of those things where, like, both of you guys know, but neither of you guys are leaving?
Nah.
He has no idea at all.
No.
All right. Has he ever cheated on you? Has he ever had any indiscretions?
He did. We actually separated, like, in 2010 for a year, and I know he saw somebody. He'll never admit it. So I think that's kind of the reason why I'm also doing what I'm doing.
Because women are like elephants. They don't forget.
Hell no, we don't forget.
Ever.
One last question. Are you catching feelings for this married man that you're having an affair with?
Nope.
Nice. Okay. Oh. There we go. Player,
yeah,
keep it in line.
I'm going to say, don't catch feelings, girl, because he's never going to leave his wife. And you know deep down you're probably not leaving your husband anytime soon either. You just said it. All right. Thanks for the confession. You will remain anonymous.
Alrighty. All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye. Okay. Even more to unpack. Her husband was unfaithful. They're both in this marriage strictly for the kids.
They sound like they need to go see a counselor.
I mean,
I don't know if they were. I wouldn't say he was unfaithful because she did say they were on a break and he was seeing another person. That's different.
Yeah, but they're married. They're married. That's different.
They're on a break, though. They're on a break. If he's not living with her and they're on a break.
And if he's lying, then it's a lie, just like this is a lie.
Like I said, they need to go see some counseling.
Is it past that? Can it be saved? I mean, do you always want to save a marriage? I say you got to try.
For the sake of the kids, they should try to fix what's going on. For the sake of their own happiness, they should try to fix what's going on.
20 years later.
I mean, it's crazy to be like, why would you want to live and be miserable?
I don't know. You said, I remember one of your friends, their parents never got a divorce. They lived married.
Yeah, but they lived their life separately. I had a friend that I grew up with. His parents lived in the same house. They lived in two separate bedrooms on opposite sides of the house. And they were both happy people. I personally don't think they ever had any kind of relationship.
They must have crossed bedroom paths because your friend was born late in their lives. So they must have shared a bed every now and then.
I'm sure they did, yes. But they really did. She had her own life and he had his own life. And they were happy to live together in the house and raise my friend together. But they had no relationship besides that.
That doesn't even sound good, dog.
It doesn't.
That doesn't sound like a fun household.
It was a good household. He had two loving parents that were there for him all the time.
They just didn't like each other?
They just didn't, exactly.
I guess it's unconventional. My advice, with no judgment, is be happy. You only have this one life to be happy. And if you're not happy, you're going to have regret. You're going to regret it. You can't go back and change things. If you're unhappy in this marriage, either go to counseling and try to fix it or maybe walk away for the sake of your happiness and the happiness of your children. Because kids will do as you do, not as you say. And you don't want them thinking that this is what a relationship should be. We'll be back with more of the Dana Cortez Show in less than 5 minutes. One Confession Convo continues online. Facebook, Dana Cortez Show. Instagram, @Dana Cortez.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
As hard as Anthony A. likes to act, I love being single. I love being alone. Even the doggiest dog gets lonely, especially this time of year. SOS Sick of Single. It's the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
And if you just turned your radio on earlier in the show, we were talking about Anthony A.'s dog, Metro, stealing his Olive Garden breadsticks. But hold up. Listen to what else he had to say about eating dinner alone Valentine's Day weekend.
All right, and I had Olive Garden at the crib. Delivered at the crib.
Treat yourself.
Nice. Side of six extra breadsticks, right?
Ooh, six.
Nice. Hey, dude, there's a lot. I was going to space them out.
Did you order some fiber with that?
I was asking Metro the same thing. Yeah, because I left them like on my little food tray. Like every single man has a little food tray that you eat off of. So did you ever like?
I had a food tray.
You know what
I know exactly you what you're talking about.
Because you're by yourself. You're not going
to
sit at the
right
table.
Right next to the couch.
You
yeah,
exactly. Know how sad I am. So, no, Anthony, now I'm just sad because on Valentine's Day, you're just eating.
Oh, that
by
sounds
yourself
depressing.
On this
it wasn't as lonely as it sounds, but it was pretty lonely.
It was pretty lonely. He admitted it. I got so sad. Like, I paid attention to the story about Metro eating breadsticks. But the fact that you said, I have this little table. I ordered Olive Garden for one. At Valentine's night, you were all alone eating that. Everybody gets lonely. Everybody gets lonely.
To unpack everything, one, it's not a table. It's a table. It's a tray. So
table. That's a TV. I call it a TV table.
Yeah, it's TV table. It's it is worse because it is worse, Dana. It is worse than a table.
I've seen Anthony's and it's very small and flimsy.
Yeah, it is.
And he keeps his tray on it as well.
And guys, no, for sure. I definitely ordered for two, but I ate for one on Valentine's Day. Yeah, I did. I got the extra side of breadsticks, which my dog ended up eating. And I couldn't enjoy those either. And needless to say, I fell off the deep end of isolation and sucked into the lonely place. Okay. I was extremely lonely during Valentine's Day weekend.
It happens.
I overslept on your party, Automatic. I missed your party, so I woke up.
You're lost.
2 a.m. Friday morning, just wide awake and bushy-tailed by myself, which then allowed me to open up the bottle of Tito's. And by Saturday morning, I had sent one ex some flowers in Texas, and I asked the other ex to meet me at Joshua Tree for the weekend.
No!
Dude, I was a mess.
Hold on. Did you listen to Drake?
Oh my God! I was all in my feels, dude.
No.
Marvin's room.
I was reenacting Marvin's room. I was quoting, "Take a shot for me." Okay, look, I'm honest, girl. I can't lie, I miss you.
No.
Oh, dude, it was bad, dude. It was bad. I was a mess.
Valentine's weekend. Bottle of vodka and loneliness. Oh, that is lethal.
And Drake on top of it.
So that's what led to me eating at least half a pound of pasta by myself.
Well, one thing for sure is that Anthony dealt with his loneliness. And, and we spoke about it. He's like, I want to share this with people listening because
there was a lot of lonely people this weekend.
Oh, there we go, dude. And yeah, so I broke through. I did break through, Dana. And I feel better on this side now. But I almost signed up for a relationship.
That's
how lonely I was.
You didn't even know this girl that well.
I was telling my ex, I was like, you know what? I am sorry for what I did 4 years ago, and I've grown past that. So, listen, don't get into an accidental relationship just because you're lonely. All right, guys? So, for those of you who are lonely, how about we give them some tips on how to break through?
How many tips did you come up with?
I got three.
That's easy.
Yeah, because you can't do four. That's an even number, like double dating.
Three tips. Give you the third wheel on how to get over your loneliness. SOS Sick of Single
Anthony
continues.
Is a professional third wheel.
At least he gets paid for it. When we come back, we'll share those with you. It's the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
The single guy in the room was lonely Valentine's Day weekend, and so were a lot of people. So he put together three tips on how to break through the loneliness for our SOS Sick of Single segment. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A., said lonely friend. Go ahead, Automatic.
Before we go any further, you know how you were Facebooking and tweeting this weekend? Dana was very concerned about you.
Yeah, dude, man. And then that was another thing.
I told Dana, I was like, he's just lonely because of Valentine's Day. Just leave him alone. Let him be. And she was like, I feel like I should call him.
No.
And then she was like, Otto, call him now.
No,
call him.
Dude,
and I was like, let him go through it.
When you're single and lonely, the worst thing you could talk to is people who are happily in love.
There you
don't
go.
Want to communicate with your
I tried to tell Dana that, and she was like, but he may need us.
Apparently, he didn't need us.
No.
He broke through on his own. He's going to share three tips For anyone who's single, SOS Sick of Single might be feeling a little lonely.
There we go. This is how to reinstall that icebox in your heart, okay? If you want to get back to being...
Are you quoting Omarion?
I am quoting Omarion because there's a big difference between being lonely and being isolated, all right? Now, if you're feeling lonely, this will help you get to isolation so you can flourish as a single person right around springtime, okay? All right, so let's kick it off. Number one, very important thing. First of all, you got to get your emotions in line. What is making you sad? Ask yourself that question. What is making you feel lonely?
What made you feel sad?
It's the week of Valentine's Day because there's flowers and lovers and everybody's got plans and that.
I think I'm stuck in like a scum dog purgatory. Because I don't know which girl I like more to take a lead on.
Okay.
So like I've created my own loneliness. And I realize that as a personal issue, I have to break through that. So whatever it is to you,
figure it out.
Figure it out, isolate it, and do that. Now, number two. Bring back an old habit, maybe something you used to do before you met that person who made you feel lonely. So if you were, I don't know, into boxing. Remember you said I'm getting back to the boxing gym, dog. I got to get back to the boxing gym.
So boxing alleviates your misery.
Yeah, well, it does.
It's something that he used to do and he got in a relationship. He quit doing it and he didn't get back into.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to that love for yourself. It was something you were doing for you.
And I'm going to throw this little yoga tip in there too that I was once told and it helped me get through things. Go back to a moment in yourself where you broke through a very traumatic moment in your life. Remind yourself of that moment, what you did to break through it, and hug yourself.
This reminds me that you've dated a lot of white girls. All right, what's next?
And the final one, go to Chipotle.
What?
They have a single people's table that doesn't make you feel as bad, so you can just sit right.
There you go.
They got
the
whole.
And you know what? Treat yourself. Get some guacamole.
Get some guacamole, dog.
Extra guac, y'all. All right, we're posting these tips now. Dana Cortez Show on Facebook, at Dana Cortez on Instagram. Share them with all your single friends. We'll be right back with more of the show, y'all. Less than five.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
If you just turned the Dana Cortez Show on, it's What Guys Think. And we know what Lil Boosie thinks about Dwayne Wade's daughter, Zaya. I can't even believe he would say something like this.
For real, if he gonna be gay, let him be gay. But don't cut his dick. Don't cut his f***ing dick, Dwayne Wade.
And then, of course, Dwayne Wade explained to Ellen about his daughter and how she decided to reveal she's transgender.
I don't know if everyone knows, originally named Zion, Zion born. Came home and said, hey, so I want to talk to you guys. I think going forward, I'm ready to live my truth. And I want to be referenced as she. I would love for you guys to call me Zaya. And so internally, now is our job to, one, go out and get information. And we're just trying to figure out as much information we can to make sure that we give our child the best opportunity to be, you know, her best self.
So we said we're going to call my friend Dom, the Gay Whisperer, and start off with this question. When did you know that you were gay?
So I would say that I knew very young, early on. I probably knew around between 4 to 6 years old. For sure, I would say, you know, early kid. I already knew.
You were like a little, barely out of your toddler stage. So
Sense to me because by the time I was in kindergarten, I already knew that I liked girls.
So for you, it wasn't I'm gay. It's just that I like boys. That was it. It wasn't like a big epiphany. It was just that's the way you felt.
Yes. I felt different. I felt, you know, when kids would talk to me. It was different. I just had a feeling and I just knew it, felt it. It was just something that was in me. I felt it.
So when everybody else liked girls, could you talk about liking boys? If your guy friends were talking about little girls, would you talk about that or did you know that you weren't supposed to?
I think that it, especially in the Mexican community, it was something that was kind of frowned upon. You didn't talk about it. You didn't, you know, you were meant to grow up and be the man of the house and take care of and have a wife and kids. And it was something that you definitely, it wasn't talked about. It wasn't something that was table talk, you know, dinner talk.
When did you decide to finally come out, Dom?
Oh man, I came out at like 16 years old. Yeah. I just was bottling it up for so long. And I just told my mom flat out, we were talking about something completely different. I think about a cell phone bill or something. I just said, hey, Mom, I'm gay and I like boys. And yeah, I just,
what was her reaction?
What did she say?
You know, my father took it better than my mother, believe it or not, which was kind of weird.
Do you think your dad already knew though?
Oh no, my parents knew from the get-go. Like they knew. Like my mom said that she saw me sashaying and prancing around in my little red boots at 5 years old just around town. She knew that I was gay from the jump. Yeah.
You know what's crazy? I was going to say, if anybody knows you, I don't know how the hell you hit it for that long until you were 16. I mean, so they knew.
I know.
Where do you think the disappointment came in then? What you said in the beginning, like just you, they wanted you to get married and have children and all of that?
I think this day and age, it's a little bit different because back in the day, 20 years ago, 30, 40, 50 years ago, that was impossible. You know, marriage equality and gay people can get married now and can have children. That wasn't something that could have happened, you know, anywhere between 30 to 50 years ago. And I think that that's something about evolution and equality and things that are going to give us, you know, a right is for that. So, yeah, I can't have a child with a woman, but I don't think...
You can have a child. Yeah, if you want to be a father, or you can be.
I got a question because I think from out of all of this, I think the biggest benefit that we could gather from this conversation is being able to have young people comfortable with their truth. When it became time for you to open up and come out to your family, I'm pretty sure you did receive some criticism, but how did you handle that? And to any young person maybe going through that who hasn't came out yet, do you have any advice for them?
And just to add on to that, people in school, how did they treat you? Go ahead.
So growing up, I was always very different, and everybody knew that I was gay. I mean, I came out to my friends when I was in about sixth grade.
Okay.
Now, mind you, you grow up and you are in elementary, middle, high school with all these kids. And I think it was a tough transition in middle school for myself because I felt like I met new people. And middle school is a little bit more cutthroat than elementary to high school because you know these people. I was actually always accepted, but I also was very much a fighter. I wasn't going to let nobody tell me anything, and I wasn't going to let anybody bully me in any way, shape, or form.
Dom was a football player,
Dom
too.
Dom played football, by the way.
I was in football, and I remember, you know, pushing a kid off some risers, you know, because he felt the need to call me, you know, a boy or this or that, and I don't have time for that. I will.
You're like,
will
let this pussy boy kick ass, and let's see what happens.
Yeah, let's see how that is. And I think that answering on Anthony's question, I think that you have to be able to let people kind of marinate on what you say. It's something that's not going to be easy. You've had X amount of time to come to terms with your lifestyle. And I think that sometimes you have to give your family and friends some time to do that too. It's kind of like saying, you know, oh, well, you know, I'm going to be vegan, or I'm going to... Now I'm not going to be this. I'm going to try this. And it's a transition for everybody. And I think that that's something that we need to all have an open conversation about that. You can't just tell someone you're gay and then be okay with it. That's not okay for you to think that too. But it's also not okay for people to not accept you for who you are. You need to speak your truth. You need to be honest. And you need to be happy because at the end of the day, no one else is going to make you happy besides yourself. So you need to make sure that no matter what, 100%, you are okay with you.
I love that. Thank you for sharing this because I know that people criticize and they judge. But at the end of the day, you're just a good person. You're a good person. You're a loving human being. You've been nothing but kind to all of us in this room. And that's the way you want to be treated in life. And that's the moral of this story.
But let's talk about it going both ways, because me and Dom has had this conversation on a personal level before, too, because it goes both ways. Because like you just said, the family members are confused, too. So you can't really fault them for their reaction either.
Of course not. But they can't hold on to it forever.
Like I said in the beginning, a lot of people's reactions to this is just based out of pure ignorance.
But let me finish. But we have to, on the flip side, the LGBTQ community, too, has to, like Dom said, practice restraint and be there and hold that conversation with us so we can actually have progression going forward as a society.
We want progression, but Anthony, I want to tell you that there are a lot of communities, especially communities of color, Latinos and African American communities, that just simply won't accept it. I have a personal friend who was beaten up by his father, kicked out. Unfortunately, he was transgender and he was murdered and left in a ditch for months. I mean, this is a reality.
Oh,
sometimes they never accept it, and that's not okay.
Well, I think we have to start having this conversation going forward, because another thing that's very close to me, I've spent time in jail, and the way the transgender community is treated in jail is outrageous. Like, that is outrageous how they're abusing America. So, like, we need to have this conversation going forward so everyone's treated better as humans. And shout out to Dwayne Wade's daughter, because he addressed her as a leader. And I think part of it, though, too, in my opinion, if you're going to step up and be the leader, then expect some of this criticism. Yep. And that's what's happening.
Absolutely, of course.
I agree. I think that at the end of the day, progression is something that's going to happen. You got to think about this from 10, 15, 20 years ago, you know, gay people weren't as common out and living their truth, holding hands, kissing. Now we have this new age where there's Laverne Cox, you know, and then there's Pose on Netflix. And then there's also now Dwayne Wade's daughter who are coming out and saying, this is my truth. At 12 years old, she's so brave to be able to speak her truth. I mean, I look at that and I'm like, whoa, that speaks volumes. Because at 12, I couldn't even tell my own parents. And she's on a platform with celebrity parents and speaking her truth. And that speaks volumes to her character. And that's something that when you do that, there does come the repercussions, like little Boosie's comments of saying this and that, and don't
just ignorance.
This with your body.
Ignorance.
It's ignorance, because at the end of the day, whatever she decides to do, it's her life. Little Boosie is not cutting her a check, so why is he so worried about her?
And that is
and
off
that's
top.
That right there. Yeah. That, yeah.
It's off topic.
I just want you all to remember, though, Magic Johnson did this first with his son.
He did.
That's true.
And he
then
did admit,
you know,
going all the way back to what you said, he said it felt like a loss at first. He's like, oh my gosh, I'm losing my son. But then he's like, no, I gained a daughter. I didn't lose anybody. It is what it is, you know, but it did feel like a loss. So you do have to accept that feeling. But it can't be forever, yeah, man.
The
you
wackest
can't hold
thing,
on to it forever.
In my opinion, about this all is that now we are living in a reaction-based society. And honestly, this shouldn't be anybody's information. Like, their family thing, I think Boosie commented on it, in general, is whack. And I think the only reason he did comment on it is because he knew it would get a rise out of people. That's the corniest thing about
Boosie.
But
I think
Boosie
it's good that he did, because we're having a conversation. And we do
and
need
a lot
to
of
have,
people think with, that way, dude.
Without the conversation, there is no progression. Without the hate, there is no love. Like, you have to have a counter, you know, emotion. And that's why Dom said, think about it. Gay marriage to us is normal. That was unheard of 20 years ago. Was never going to happen. And now, thank goodness, these people who pay taxes and live their lives, good lives, serve in armed services, can do what they want to do and what they deserve. Dom, I think I love you very much, man. Thank you so much for being so honest. We really appreciate you. Let's put this on a podcast, unedited.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.